Well,
I see you got a new look.
Oh, no,
you got some. Yeah. I'm saying. You. New year, new you.
New year, same me. Same me. I did chop my face off.
I see.
You know, I
did you get on the scale? See how much weight you lost?
With my hair? Was it that bad?
It was a lot.
You know, it didn't seem that bad over the holidays, but I jumped on webcam for the first time all year.
It looked like shrubbery in a haunted house field.
I looked rough.
Rough and tough.
I looked like I was going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, time for a shave. Mm-hmm. So
it looks really
nice. Right before I came here. Thank you. I chopped my face off. You know, they say there's energy in hair. The big chop.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's girls be, you know, cutting their hair off when they go after they go through stuff.
Mm-hmm, I've done it.
You done the big chop?
Uh-huh.
How short did you go?
I went short. So
manager short.
Shaved on this side, and then I had a little swoop. I had
you had the swoop?
Some, yeah.
You went into let me call the manager?
No. First off.
No, why is every
my hairstyle is a black woman's hairstyle.
Yeah, but
and I got it from Carrie Hilson.
Tell me that black women can't pull off a black Karen. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The auntie that with the swoop that will call the manager and cuss the coach out when their kid don't get playing time.
Definitely cuss the coach out here. Definitely.
That's a lot of dudes don't do the big chop, you know?
No, we what do
the
y'all big
do? We do the
y'all grow y'all hair out.
Right. We do the big slop, which means we just go into nasty caveman mode.
I see you got a little bling bling on.
Oh, you know. After your boy Yosef came, I hit him up and so I was like, give me the blood diamonds.
You've changed.
Give me the bloody diamonds. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. I actually I found out that I may have misspoke. When I had the half a mil on me, I mm-hmm. was like, this it could change you. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I could, this wearing jewelry like this, you know, the more expensive, the better. Man, I get why people wear fake jewelry.
Why?
The feeling's the same, guys. I've never A and B'd it. Half a million and this.
Well, the feeling is the same right now because it hasn't faded.
Right.
So what's this?
This ain't getting in water.
What's
I ain't gonna jump in the pool
look,
with this.
Don't wear it with no oil on, no lotion, don't let it touch your bare skin.
You know what? It's shiny. But more important than it being real, it's a chow or a kale or kale. I don't know how you pronounce it, but this is a huge thing
a
in
bird?
Me and my. No, they're like little babies. You see, his feet are right here, and he's going like this. He's just chilling.
But it's not a bird.
No, they're like these little alien guys.
Oh,
these little alien babies in Sonic Adventure. You can raise them.
Sonic. Okay.
Yeah, me and my brother. That was a big game for us.
Hi,
so I
Ryan.
Bought him one. I bought myself one, and you know, it feels. It don't feel as nice, but
I love Ryan. He's it's, my buddy.
Ryan's cool. I got him a matching one, and they're not real. Yeah, for Christmas, and they're not real, but it feels nice.
It looks nice, and I
like the fact that it's like when you have half a mil on you, you're just like, I'm nervous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't want nothing to happen. This
and now if I could lose this. Snatch a chain, you like
I could lose this.
I'd be like, you
gonna go to jail for that? You gonna go to jail for this?
Okay, I get it.
I'm a key witness.
A key witness? You understand?
Man, listen.
Somebody snatch your fake chain, you pressing charges?
I probably wouldn't trip over stuff like that, but yeah. I mean, I'm not a gangster. I'm not about to go to jail over.
What if you randomly start scrolling and you see like the nigga that stole your chain got it on?
Wearing it? Oh, that sucks. That's the worst part is that people just want the clout for it. So
he'd be like, yo, I
Patrick Clout, come
Patrick
get your chain. Come get your chain. Come get it back in blood.
Yep.
I'd be like, it was him. And you know what? That's I feel like that's the realest a nigga can be. Because clearly we're seeing that even some of the gangsters ain't really keeping their mouth shut like they used to.
I know.
That's a rough thing. This YSL case is hurting my heart. Young Thug is my favorite artist.
I know. I couldn't be a gangster.
Oh no.
But that's like, because the snitch term is just, it seems too broad. They say, oh no, it's specific. If you and somebody conspire to commit a crime together, yeah, then somebody flips, then that's snitching. But if something happens to you, mm-hmm, you know, and you tell, but that still gets, it's like murky water. You still get labeled a snitch.
There's even people if who say that they were going to take the stand and then they never said, never mind, and they still get the snitch. They were like, you were about to snitch.
Right.
It's like, I didn't say nothing.
So
it's tough.
I wouldn't even want to be a part of that.
Well, at least that's the responsible part, because I think saying that, oh, I don't think I would snitch. I don't think I would go to jail like that. Then you just don't be involved in the first place. I think it gets a little murky when you get involved. You're like, mm-hmm, I would never tell on my brother. And then when it happens, it's a lot different when it's actually happening. When they say 50 years or him,
he starts to look a little more attractive.
But I don't, I mean, I get it. I don't like the idea of somebody telling on their friend or their family member.
Yeah, no,
but it's
sucks.
Just like, I'm not a gangster. I'm just not going to do it at all. How about that? Mm-hmm. Or I'll do it by myself.
I would hope that if I was going into something with someone and we both came up with this, mm-hmm, we both just got to be like, all right, what's the best deal we can get? You know, basically, if they got insurmountable evidence that, you know, we did that shit and we really did that shit, like, mm-hmm,
well, that's what's crazy. You never know, because sometimes it's all a mind game. Sometimes they're just like, they don't have anything, they just need you to snitch on me.
No, that's why.
And they're like, you're not gonna go to jail for Patrick, there's no reason. And you're like, I probably won't. And then it's like, damn, thank God, because we didn't have nothing. You heard, mm-hmm, about that story about, it's like that biker gang that they had a whole shootout. There was like 9 dead, a whole bunch of people shot, and they dropped 107. There was like 170 of them, and they dropped all the cases because none of them snitched. Mm. The whole gang, both sides, they killed each other, and none of them said anything, so everybody walked.
Very nice. So that's them not having any evidence. I'm talking about insurmountable evidence. Like, you damn near got somebody saying, yeah, we did it. You know, like,
that's what I'm saying.
That type shit. Like, then it's like, both of us, like, yeah, like, we did it.
It's tough.
You know, but
that's the Happy New Year motto we're going to leave with. It's just, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Let this
YSL case show you guys, man. Just chill out. let's chill out on all the gangsta stuff.
I really hope that stuff starts to chill out anyway, because it's gotten pretty crazy.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's
that drill music.
Oh man, I hate seeing black men killing each other and being locked up so so frequently. So I just hope that this whole rap game kind of just tones it down a little bit, because they're admitting some very real crimes. Rappers are the realest they've ever been. We used to complain about, true. Oh, they ain't doing what they doing. Nowadays, they are doing what they are talking about.
I got my ear to the streets, you know?
You got your ear to the streets because of me. Because, okay, look. This is how we're tapped in, because we ain't in the streets. We be watching Hip Hop Daily. Hip Hop Daily is one of the greatest channels ever. It's basically like a true crime news thing, but it be talking about like Chirac, all the stuff that's happening in Jacksonville. Like, it is really, really tapped in.
All rap beef.
They break it down like it's Cold Case Files.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting.
It's so interesting. My
and it's funny,
pleasure.
Too. The narrator is funny without even trying to be funny.
Right.
So shout out to Hip Hop Daily for keeping us tapped in.
All right. Well, it's a new year.
It is. It is.
I got some. My thread is New Year's-y in a way that it's talking about whether you would or not carry over some old flame activity from the last year.
Ooh.
You know.
Okay. Well, Happy New Year. I don't even think we ever said Happy New Year.
I thought we started with that.
We did.
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
We hope that all of the threadheads out there had an amazing Christmas, Thanksgiving, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you had a cool, cool little New Year's experience, you know. CNN was hilarious.
Oh, my God. Don Lemon
missed the countdown because he was dancing to Back That Ass Up.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you this. I was, too.
It's a great song to bring the New Year's on.
Hey, I was watching it as I was backing that ass up, and I saw the ball drop or whatever it was.
No countdown, no nothing.
It was no countdown. It was just Back That Ass Up, mm-hmm. and fireworks going off. And I'm like, I think the fucking
Don Lemon was like, and he wasn't drunk.
And Matty Fresh just put on Back That Ass Up. Ugh. And I'm like, oh shit, they started the New Year's so
for that
right.
to be the black version is so amazing because New York was right on time. They're playing some boring ass Frank Sinatra.
Hey, you gotta chill off, Frankie.
I'm just talking about in terms of a New Year's party.
It was.
If you're gonna choose the one mm-hmm. that's like, oh, New York, and that's what you're waiting for the ball to drop, and Manny Fresh going, doom, 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 chicky, 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 chicky. Girl, you look good. Won't you back that ass up? I'm choosing New Orleans every time. And Don Lemon?
I was laying down, and I heard, back that ass up, like 2 minutes to go. Not even 2 minutes, like with a minute to go, and I was like, huh? That's what we doing? Okay. So that was really, really nice.
Really, really fun. So, you know, obviously 2022 was the year of the birth of Thick Threads. So we want to mm-hmm. thank all the thread heads for making it such a fast-growing podcast. We can just talk about how quickly our channel is growing.
We are 20 episodes in.
20 episodes in, mm-hmm. and we are doing amazing thanks to the threadheads.
Oh, thank you.
And we also have we also got to release Grizzly Tales, which is our new true crime show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going.
That shook some of you guys up.
Oh, it's grisly.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had to add the nice videos at the end just to change the energy up.
Mm-hmm. We have one that's upcoming that's a bit tough.
We got one coming up that is rough.
It's rough
around the edges.
Yeah, to the point where I was even considering scrapping it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it was just a little much.
It's a bit tough.
Hey, we can't call it Grizzly Tales and have it not and tone down the grizzly.
Uh-huh. So, being that I do take a long time when I'm doing my threads, mm-hmm. I want you to go first today.
Okay.
But I want you to tell me, what is your thread about?
My thread is about let's say some old baggage.
Old baggage.
Yeah, I think it's a good New Year's thread.
Okay.
This is brought to you by the beautiful people over at the Shade Room.
Okay.
I like to call it the Sade Room.
The Sade Room.
When an old flame reaches out to you and tells you how much they messed up, what is your instant reply to them?
Oh, that's going to be good. That is going to be good. Mine is from Black Twitter Threads.
Okay.
And
love that account, by
the
way.
Oh, my God. It's the best.
It's like it came out right on time.
Oh, my God.
With our show.
It really did.
And I love it so much.
Mine has to do with basically parents messing up in the moment they're whooping you. So people are telling their stories about getting their asses whooped by their parents, but mm-hmm. Or about to get their ass whooped by their parents, and the parents kind of mess up.
Okay,
I definitely have a story.
I got a story too.
I got a couple stories.
So
yeah, that's my thread.
Okay, well, mine is. I want to hear your answer to this, too.
Okay.
So mine is about the when the old flame hits you up. I always think of the future meme that's just like, you know, remember the one the future's texting?
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, man, this New Year's is letting me...
the toxicity.
Right. It's letting me know that I'm not, you know, I dropped the ball with you.
Oh, my God.
That would have been a good one, right? That was off the dome. Mm-hmm. All right. So... You thought
Let's
I was
hear this
feeling
bullshit.
You. When an old flame reaches out to you and tells you how much they messed up, what is your instant reply to them? Number one, I don't say shit.
Really?
So there you go. We got a classic, Who Is This? Which even if you know who it is, mm-hmm. that hurts.
Does it? Hmm? Noted.
Who is this? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Even if you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Because that lets you know, like, even though I recognize the number, I've mentally deleted this.
Damn.
I like this one. Appreciate the accountability and wish the best.
That came from a emoji. Woman. Definitely, huh?
Nope, a man.
Appreciate the accountability? Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Don't always count us out.
I'm learning.
Here we go. Here's some pettiness. You worried about missing the wrong thing.
Ooh.
Focus on that missing side tooth.
Ooh, not them roasting them. Ooh, when they're trying to be genuine.
The spit. I like the twist ending.
They hated that person. Whatever they did, they hated mm-hmm. the fact of that.
This one's a good amount of petty. Screenshot and send to the group chat. Girl, he missed me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what you would do?
No.
Okay.
I'm not sending nothing to the group chat, but it is like a conversation that I'm going to have with my friends.
This one is tough, and this is literally, it says in parentheses, it's actually me texting. Quote, I agree. This is her husband, so respect me and don't text my woman. Wish you the best. Pretending to be a fake husband, it's pretty crazy, especially because if they text you like that, they probably follow you on social media and know you ain't married.
Mm-hmm. Just, probably like, what is this? I'd be like, damn, I really messed up with that person.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be able to reach out since they blocked me on everything. Excuse me, they blocked on everything.
That ain't true.
You got exes blocked?
No, I don't have any exes blocked, but I'm saying, you know, they can create a Finsta, they can text from a different number, they can get a burner number. Like, there's so many ways to reach out. They can email.
Email is pretty funny.
They can Cash App.
With
a message.
Uh-huh. It'd probably be like a dollar or something.
Better be more than that. If you're trying to get, if you're blocked on everything, it's a high probability that you did some really shady stuff. So coming back, you gotta show a little something in order to get her to even read the message.
This response is biblical.
Or him.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We got a classic, pick somebody else to do it. That seems like the new phrase of 2023.
Mm-mm. She says, get somebody else to do it.
Says it's 2023, so it's going to be a no reply. Now, you tell me if a man or woman said this next one. If I'm in a relationship, I wouldn't respond. If I'm single, I'd probably hear them out just to see out of curiosity what the motive was. Like, are they in a program and I'm just on their roster of amends or what?
That sounds like a woman. Yeah. I don't see a guy saying that.
This is my favorite one. If they went ghost, you respect the dead.
Oh.
Prayer emojis.
That's a bar.
Respect the dead.
That is a bar. But what if they didn't go ghost? Like, what if it was just like, you know. I'm
done. You got to set the bar up.
That was a bar, though.
Someone said red at 8:41, okay. Which is crazy as a...
Left on red. Okay.
This one's more up your alley, like what you just said. Please deposit $250 to continue this conversation.
Okay.
It's kind of low, but
they're
okay.
They're not doing that.
Go tell your mama. Sorry to hear that. Thank you. That was nice of you. Or, depends on who it was.
Ah.
Some people, I guess, got the spin the block pass, right?
It depends on how good that sex was, huh?
Is that the only thing that it depends on?
Sometimes.
So that's a good question. When it comes to spinning the block on an ex, is the decision more based on the sexual chemistry or based on how much you hate them now?
So for me, if I decided to spin the block, I can't hate that person. If I hate that person, I'm not spinning it. I'm not spinning the block if I hate that person. But if we just split and maybe I'm just like, I don't ever want to be with that person again, but I don't necessarily hate them or whatever. And we had crazy ass sex. I'm not in a relationship with nobody else after that. I can still, you know, get it going.
But the crazy ass sex would overpower a little bit of what they did.
Yeah.
What sure. if the sex was okay, but you really liked that person?
I really like that person, and we're no longer together they because up. They messed up.
So there's no, it's not, it's way more likely to spin the block for sex reasons
uh-huh.
because it's
so.
Just like, oh, I want that real quick, mm-hmm. as opposed to like, ah, that person was dope.
But it's so dangerous to do that. It's so dangerous to do that with somebody that you were emotionally connected to like that, because even sex can like re-trigger. You could do all this work to get over as much as you can, and then you go back and have sex with that person, and it's like you done took 5 steps forward and 4 steps back, you know, if you decide to have sex with that person, because it just opens up all kind of like emotional channels. In my experience, yeah. I just think that, you know, that definitely.
You ready for this? You ready for this?
It's already, the pressure's happening already. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. He's I gonna can't be- stop.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry about that. There's a thick threads dent in the wall. I did not expect for it to shoot up like that.
He blew it. Oh, I blew it all over the place.
He blew it on the ceiling.
We got mimosas.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is when you leave it.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
When you leave it to Patrick, you can't see through because he puts so much orange.
It was, I was a little heavy. Jesus. Heavy on yours.
Jesus.
All right. We had a little New Year's toast.
Yes.
To Thick Threads.
And a dance
and
break.
The Burbank podcast studio. You had a little dance break. I'll mm-hmm. probably leave some of that in there.
Some, not all, please. Thank
I
you.
Don't think you would want all of it. Nope. I saw some of it.
You hater.
So before we move on, you said that you were going to say how you would respond to an old flame reaching out to you and telling you how much they messed up, which I'm sure you get a lot.
So I have been in that situation, mm-hmm. And it's because of my personality and how I connect with people. So when I am dating someone, like it's really hard for me to not put all my eggs in one basket. So I give that person a lot of attention, and sometimes it gets misconstrued as liking them too much, or they may interpret it as pressure or whatnot, even though I'm not pressuring them at all. And I don't like them as much as they think that I do, but I just give them, I guess, more attention than what they want. And so I've seen to where most of the time this happens, we'll be dating, everything will be fire. Everything will be amazing. We'll be having a great time. And then all of a sudden they're like, this is moving too fast for me. And I don't know if I'm ready to move forward. And I'm like, okay, you're still trying to, you know, do you. And depending on how long it went on, if I'm like emotionally connected to that person and they like say like, let's chill out or whatever, usually I'll let it go. Mm-hmm. And I will move on. It'll take me not too long, but it'll take me a little while. I'll be in my feelings and I'll be like, damn, like, you know, nothing really went wrong with this relationship. I don't understand. Like, I didn't tell him like, hey, I'm trying to be your girlfriend right now, or, you know, or whatever. Things just vibed and, you know, okay. So when that has happened, every time they pretty much come back and was like, you know what, I want to try again. I didn't realize until, you know, you were gone that I was getting this much from you. You know, this
was they got uncomfortable with being comfortable.
Right. So I was just like, so I've always been the type that's been like, yeah, well, I mean, you had my attention. Mm-hmm. You did have me.
You missed
and I
the
was
sailboat.
There. And yeah, basically that ship has sailed and I've never been able to really go back like that.
It's tough.
So, and even with relationships that the guy was good. And I wouldn't, what he did, I wouldn't have had him do it any other way. If he's like, hey, this is not working for me the way I want it to, I appreciate that communication. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me the real. And if, you know, I have to accept it. But I've noticed even when they tell me the real, even when they've done exactly what they were supposed to do, I've never been able to go back. So when I have read those messages, it's been more like, I know, typical, you're not saying anything different than, you know. So I've been working on trying to change that, but I haven't been able to go back. And I only say I've been working on trying to change that because it's like if they didn't wrong me, per se, if they didn't wrong me, then, you know, somebody could be, one of them could have been, you know, good for me. But I just can't go back to it. Once my attention shifts.
It's tough to go back, forth. Yeah. Mentally, it's, you know, it's like, oh, it's it's weird to, you know, yo-yo, but, you know, sometimes.
And that's just with casually dating. With relationships, I've always had the conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Like my exes, I'll entertain the conversation because, first off, it is kind of a slight ego boost. Like,
oh,
you know.
Couldn't find anything better, huh?
Right. Oh, so it didn't work, huh? Now you're back. You thought the grass was greener, but you find out it was paint.
Paint on the floor?
Paint on the grass.
It was turf,
you know?
Damn, I've been staring at this from my yard this whole time. This shit was turf. I love
that
turf.
That shit was provided by, what, the city? Won't the city give you some turf to save water?
Shit, like I wish. I just got some turf from my mama backyard. That shit was not provided by the city.
I think you get a discount or something on your water bill or something like that.
Damn,
if you switch from...
Oh, I guess I could still.
Yeah, it saves water. At least it used to be like that. I don't know if it still is because I haven't dove into it. But... yeah, so once, you know, they realized the grass wasn't greener.
They spun the block on that ass.
Yeah, and so I have the conversation, and I think it's because I was a therapist for so long that not allowing the conversation to happen is like, I am a kind person as well, and I don't have too many, the relationships I was in the past weren't volatile like that, except there was only one that got out of hand, and I left that immediately once it happened, you know. But outside of that, I've never had any volatile relationships like that where I couldn't give them the opportunity to have that conversation, whether I decided to stay with them or not, because I'm all about people healing, and, you know, I want them to be able to heal outside.
I can fix him.
No.
I'm just kidding.
But I have, I mean, I think we all had that, like, I can fix him type mindset in the past. And then we learned, some of us quicker than others, that we cannot fix him and that he has to fix himself. And vice versa. He can't fix me. I have to fix myself. So, you know. Thank God.
It's maturity.
Yeah. I've had to make that not necessarily that text myself, but I've had to, what would I call it? I've had to salvage a couple of relationships because I let my emotions get too hype.
I get it. I feel like some people just get the spin the block pass. I was framed once, so I don't necessarily do that, but...
Framed?
I was framed in the spin the block.
Oh, what do you mean?
And it wasn't even bad because I was framed in a way where the other girl was just kind of like jealous, so she just misunderstood and thought it was framing me, but it wasn't.
Okay, what happened?
So there was a girl... who I used to mess with, who I ended it with because I didn't. I thought she was a little. I saw the red flags. Oh, I acted on red flags. And she tried to spin the block on me, and it was at a period where I was just like, oh, okay, for sure. Mm-hmm. So she initiated it. She
wait. Can I ask what were the red flags you saw? At least one or two.
some red flags were a darker red than others.
That pussy was good.
No. But yeah, I was just like, yeah, sure, why not? And she was how crazy she was. She brought it up, pressed the issue, had me basically to the point where it was like we were about to hang out. Mm-hmm. And then she screenshotted all that and sent it to the girl she thought I was talking to.
Oh,
right. So she sent it to someone that I wasn't involved with.
Oh, shit.
And
so that person sent it to you. That person sent it to me.
Yeah, like, who's this girl sending me stuff like y'all about to smash? And I was like, oh, that's wildly weird.
Fuck.
So, so yeah, obviously I did not spin the block, but she was actually even I never told her that I saw the screenshots, but she was still adamant about like, and at that point I was just like, is this a setup? Like, so I don't really spin the block anymore.
Oh, geez. So what do you do in response to the ladies who?
I think
I agree with
one of the responses I sent. Like, I appreciate the growth. I appreciate the accountability, and you know.
Good luck.
I mean, I would assume this was just you know, like when people are just like, I've done so much wrong, I'm changed, I'm saved.
Uh-uh.
You know, like now I'm just gonna go and just right all my wrongs. It's like, okay, if you're doing that, yeah, check me off the list, we good, you know. Mm-hmm. But ain't no like, all right, let's try this again.
I don't ever see that as being the thing that I'm just gonna go back and right all my wrongs.
There's always some other stuff, but that's what I'm saying. If that was the case, that would be like the most honorable case scenario. And if that was the case, for sure, if there's any extra, it don't matter. It's like, you know, good luck with that.
I do really appreciate the accountability when they do, because that's my biggest thing in relationships when I'm dealing with somebody, is that if I can be accountable on some shit, I can apologize.
Right.
I am really big on apologies, because it was something that was kind of scarce for me growing up. So as I got older, and I have to attribute all of my growth to being a mental health therapist for almost 10 years.
Not a lot of accountability in Black families, huh? that is something that I think we've all grown. No, it's not a lot of accountability. I think the most you're going to get is like, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
All right. Well, I think it's time for yours. I went a little long. I went way too, but it's a New Year's episode.
Well, mine is not too crazy long, because this is just more just funny little stories than anything super deep.
Okay.
So think of your story. Did you ever get whoopings?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I had an old school grandma. She made me do the whole pick the switch, go outside to the tree and pick a switch.
Mm-hmm. I had to do that too.
You always had to pick the ones that you didn't think had the aerodynamics.
And
the whip
thinnest
appeal.
Ones stung the most.
I was
most.
About to say, don't pick the thin ones. You need the flatter
mm-hmm.
ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One time my mom was whooping me and she clocked herself with the belt buckle.
Damn.
She stopped mid-whoop. She said, God don't play about me.
Love it. Love how he attributed to God.
I remember my mom tripped down the steps trying to come whoop me. God definitely don't play about his children. Trip down the steps.
Wow, whooping? What kind of action shot was this? What was
She's
he?
Probably running.
Huh. That's pretty embarrassing.
Mad and you run down the stairs. She probably did that.
And then
like,
tumbled.
I'm coming.
And you know how it is. If you mid-whoop it and they embarrass themselves, they're going to take it out on you.
Oh, it's going to get harder.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let a sibling laugh. My cousins would laugh, mm-hmm. you know, and then they feel bad, because sometimes they would blame me for shit and then I would get whooped and then they would be laughing and then the other one would feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, you bitches. But they were my favorite cousins. One time my dad was chasing me around the house with a belt, then hit his leg on the corner of the kitchen counter. At that moment, I knew God loved me. I bet that hurt like hell.
Everybody's turning into Christians, huh?
Not running into a corner.
Yeesh.
Man. One time when I was little, I tattled on my brother for doing something, and my mom was chasing after him with a belt and got confused and started whooping me. How do you get... How are you so upset?
She just started swinging at the nearest person. That's wild.
My thing is they be getting so mad that they just see red. And if don't let like them not know who did the fuck up, like who wrecked the house, who tore the house up, who did that. Everybody's getting their ass whooped. It's like even the innocent.
If you're just a bystander that's watching.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I've seen fights like that. They get hit too hard. They just start swinging on the next person.
It'd be the people trying to break up the fight that get their ass whooped the most.
It's like in a game when you lock on the wrong person. Just start fighting.
Right. I can close my eyes. I'm swinging on everybody. One time my mom was cussing me out. And started stuttering because her accent, and I laughed.
Hilarious.
Which made her stop talking to me.
Hilarious. Quite funny.
Oh, man. Do you remember the first time you laughed when you got whooped?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
You mean that moment you realize you're too strong for this and you catch the belt?
I never did that.
Nah.
But I just stopped the crying, and I'm like, I got caught, and it turned into... popping my mouth. That shit never got old. She'd be like, bow. I mean, all like everything just watered up, stung. Like
my mom's weapon of choice, I'll never forget it. It was a gray slipper with red trim. And she was Max Payne with that. She was Jason Bourne, Bruce Lee. She knew how to beat ass with that. And between that and my dad had the belt, my mom had the chancla, and my grandma said, "You go get your weapon of choice to beat your ass with."
My great grandma had a whip.
A whip.
Mm-hmm.
Like Indiana Jones.
Why'd she? We never got whooped. I don't know. I was very young.
And she whipped you guys with it?
No, she threatened to whoop us with it. She never did.
Was it hanging on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? She had a whip hanging on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of plantation?
It was like an animal whip. It was like an animal whip. It wasn't
an animal whip.
I don't know. I was little. I was very, very little. No, I'm saying at the time, I never went back to think about what kind of whip it was. Like once that was out of my mind, I never thought about that shit again. Really,
it was.
But she threatened us with it. She never actually hit us with it.
But it was on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
I'm like, ooh, whip I know my grandma.
Whip on the wall.
My grandma had to be a good girl because whip with a whip.
Sheesh.
That's tough.
Putting it on the wall is crazy, too. I hope it was just for discipline reasons and she just wasn't like, yeah, that's the whip. The whip of 84.
Oh, Lord. 1884. Oh, God. You're like, I'm about to treat you like your ancestors. One time my mom was whooping my little brother with a stick to the blind. She made a mistake and hit herself in the face, and it just made her whoop him harder. Why'd she have a blind stick?
He got hit with a blind stick? I didn't even register. Like Daredevil? She beat his ass like she was Daredevil.
I don't know. Whooping my little brother with a stick to the blind. Oh, the stick to the blinds.
Got it.
The stick to the blinds.
So not a blind walking stick.
That's what I'm thinking. Like
I was like, either she was blind or he was blind. And both of those are crazy. If he was blind, it's messed up. If she was blind, this is Marvel.
That's an interesting weapon of choice.
She's an Avengers. The blind stick?
Yeah.
You mean the thing that you turn?
Yeah.
That's a good weapon, though.
That is.
Very lightweight.
That shit hurt.
That's a great whooping weapon. And that's Venetian blinds are the worst thing that ever happened in architectural history anyway, so you might as well destroy it and use it as a weapon. I hate Venetian blinds.
They got the new blinds now where you just open them like and close them like this.
They should just stop making all Venetian blinds.
My mom tripped up the stairs running after me and hit her chin. It was so satisfying.
Hit her chin on the stairs? Probably. And she got curbed?
That's tough. Don't say that. That is the worst scene in American history.
I'm glad that stopped being a thing. When I heard that that was a thing in high school, I was like, that's horrible. That's horrible.
A thing in high school, people stepping on people's heads on the curb?
Mm-hmm. It was hella videos. On curb. it even escalated to people using tube lights. And then so it would be glass. Yeah.
There that was is horrible.
Some crazy scenarios in L.A.
I can't watch that scene.
Even though it cuts away. I saw it a few months ago. Because
it's when his teeth scrape the concrete and you hear it. And it's like,
let's move on. I don't like this imagery.
That's tough.
It's going to get us flagged.
Okay, that was all the ones on my thread.
I spent a lot of my life avoiding trouble in situations because I learned from other people. Mm-hmm. And I just watch other people and, you know, I see if they mess up. So I got whooped very little. You know, okay. I got whooped from fighting my brother. I didn't get whooped on a lot of solo occasions. Okay. But I learned a lot and I can... My grandma was old school, and I remember how she whooped, so mm-hmm. I got in trouble with her very little.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My mom is such a sweet woman. She's a big softie, but my brother was so bad. We were talking about Ryan earlier. He was so bad that she just had to, and she used the chancla. But as he got older, she just started using other stuff. And she's going to hate me for telling this. But there was I had a Sting doll, Sting the wrestler. Uh-huh. And there used to be these WCW dolls that had a voice box in them.
WCW?
Yeah, like Sting and Goldberg and stuff. Oh. And when you punched them and did stuff, they went, because they had a voice box in them.
Okay.
But they were very firm. So he did some bullshit. I already know, because it was so instant. It wasn't like you're going to get whooped. It was she grabbed it and started whooping him with it, but she's such a nice woman that she didn't even know that the voice box kind of like came out of the back with the cord. Ooh. And he got hit with that a couple times, and he started crying, and she realized what she did, and she never whooped us again, ever. She was so sorry, because it was totally an accident, and she was just like, you know, hitting him with the stuffed animal, and he was doing some bullshit. So
it was a stuffed animal.
It was literally a stuffed animal with a voice box. So he wasn't really getting whooped like that.
Right.
You know, and you know, my mom would never actually hurt us.
Uh-huh.
So when, you know, I think he may have got hit like once or twice before she realized, and then whatever he did didn't matter. She was never whooped us again.
Oh, you know, she went through it when she wasn't around.
Oh, so sorry. And I love my mom. Shout out to my mom. We did not get whooped after that, but I saw that. I witnessed it, and that's my story.
Ooh,
because
you were like,
yeah, she didn't know it came out, but she definitely stopped. And then but that was like the closest thing. There was never anything funny that happened during a whooping, because the whoopings that I remember were not funny. They were all pretty like, okay, don't do that again, because I actually learned from them.
I have two stories.
With the whoopings?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know what me and my cousin did, but my mom got so mad at us.
Mm-hmm.
She was yelling and she was about to whoop us, but she was going like this with her head as she was yelling at us. And her ponytail flew across the room us. And we just started dying laughing. She started laughing. Like, it totally, whatever we did was negated, because it didn't matter anymore. Because seeing her ponytail fly across the room
was
still one of the funniest moments of my child.
Amazing.
My entire childhood.
I love it.
So me and my cousin got away with that.
You can't undo that once the hair comes off. Mm-hmm. It's like the girl whose wig fell off in the podcast. It's just,
oh yes,
that happened.
Yeah,
and you can't edit it out.
She just said, "Oh my god!
Oh my god! She's so funny."
Yes, she is. I was looking at her page after that happened, and I was like, "She's a character."
You said you had two stories, right?
Uh huh. The second one, me and those same cousins. My aunt was asleep on the floor, and we were probably about 10, maybe 9, 10, and we just was fucking with her. So we would like put our finger under her nose, and she was, you know,
while she was asleep,
and she
was a badass little kid.
And we would mess with her, and she got so mad. She woke up and we ran. She got so mad. She grabbed the belt, and she was coming to whoop us. She was about to come whoop us, but she was so tired that she fell back asleep. But how she was about to, like, she was about to swing.
She got up or she was still sleeping? Okay.
She was about to get up, but the way she grabbed the belt.
The belt was nearby? Hands distance? Arms away?
Shit, somebody might have brought it to her. I don't know. It could have been.
Belt
all I remember were flashes of she grabbed the belt and the buckle was on the side that she was about to whoop us with accidentally, you know, because she was so sleepy. But she was about to swing and she just went back to sleep.
She went like this, like did she pull it back and fall asleep, or did she pull it back and then fall asleep during the forward leg?
I think the forward motion.
She was tired.
Yeah, she was tired.
You fell asleep mid whooping?
Mm-hmm.
That's quite funny.
We laughed so hard. We still laugh about it to this day.
Yeah.
And another time, I put plates better. In my butt. I put plates in my shorts. Glass
plates in your butt?
In my shorts. Yeah, okay, when I knew I was about to get a whooping.
All good until they break the plate, and now you
they
got.
They did break the plate, and I got.
And you got a piece
more
of
trouble.
Wait, you got a piece of a plate up your butt?
No, not up my butt, but I had it in there, and I'm sure they saw it. But when I got the.
With the what? What belt?
Mailman belt.
Mailman belt.
Mm-hmm.
With the buckle?
Mm-mm. It was
hit,
with the
leather
part. They
hit you so
part.
Hard with the leather part that a plate broke?
But I don't think it was, honestly, I don't even think it needed to be that hard because of the positioning of it. And I had two.
You got your ass whooped.
I had two.
They got
two plates.
Leather to
so
double
they just
plate?
Hit, they hit each other. So the plates probably really hit each other more so.
Based
and
on
broke.
The force of the leather belt. Yeah, you was getting your ass whoop.
I mean, I was an active child. I'm not going to lie.
That means you were bad. That means you were bad.
But I didn't get that many whoopings, mm-hmm. you know, but those are just the most memorable ones. There was only a couple more. And then
there's
once
couple,
I start
they'd be burned
talking,
into your head.
Once I start talking shit to my mom as I got a little older, all she do, she just popped me in my nose.
You
just
get
mouth,
popped.
And that shit.
No, I learned. I learned. And my mom and dad weren't really on the physicals anyways. That was usually the old school people around them.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. I want to take over the facts.
Okay.
This episode.
All
just because
of them?
It's the first episode. It's the first episode of the year. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
I think it could be a little because this is it's inspirational. They're not like mind blowing. It's just very inspirational. I think we can start the year off with this because it's cheat codes I know at 42 that I wish I knew at 22.
Oh. Okay. Nice.
So there's just, you know, there's a whole bunch of them, but I just want to highlight the ones that I thought were very cool.
Okay.
And hopefully people can get, you know, some use out of it instead of these random facts that we do that nobody can benefit from at all. All right. So just gonna throw them out there. Number one, use workouts to gain muscle, diet to burn fat, and cardio to improve your overall health and longevity.
Okay.
Make sure you always drink water when you wake up before coffee.
Okay. I heard something about, like, not drinking enough water can, like, shorten your lifespan by
20% or something. Like, uh-huh. Damn. Like, oh.
I was like,
start chugging that damn water. Mouthwash is actually the biggest dental scam. It kills your oral microbiota, so avoid it.
Okay. I use some today.
Right, same. The 3-2-1 method for better sleep. I struggle with sleep, so No eating 3 hours before bed. No liquids 2 hours before. And no screens 1 hour before. No so three, screens. Two, one. Ah. Screens is a tough one.
This I one, use screens to help me go to sleep.
Right. Memory is fallible. When you have a good idea, write it down immediately. There's so many many good ideas. I'm like, I'll remember.
So
nah.
many are lost.
Mm-hmm. Nah. Your best ideas come in the shower, walking, or in the gym. Ooh, keep a notepad ready. Shower is, oh my God, most of the things that I can attribute to the shower.
Thinking cap on in the shower.
Or driving. Driving is the same. Whatever unlocks in the shower, it unlocks while I'm driving. I don't even listen to popular music in the car anymore. I just listen to like meditation music.
I'm a silent driver.
I like silence too, but if you listen to like meditation music or uh-huh. frequencies or stuff, it gives your thoughts like a sound bed mm-hmm. without having you focus in on lyrics, which distracts you. So if you just mm-hmm. have like that epic ass background and you can have your thoughts, your mind will go crazy.
People be like, I'd like to drive to Vegas by myself. Like even mm-hmm. if I'm meeting friends there, I'd be like, y'all can fly. I'll drive.
Right.
Because I like to drive by myself.
Yeah, until somebody's like, oh, let me hop in the car with
you. Oh, and if somebody's like, let me hop in the car, then the drive becomes dreadful because now I got to
DJ.
I got to potentially stop if you got to use the restroom or if you fall asleep. I can't listen to my music as loud as I want.
And they will not let you be silent because they'll feel like they need to talk or say something.
Yep. So.
The more you criticize others, the more you criticize yourself. If you want to judge yourself less, judge others less.
Ooh, okay. A word.
Stay away from people who always complain. They are energy vampires.
That is not a lie.
Seek rejection daily. I love this one. This numbs you to the feeling. Also, you get what you ask for. So I can't tell you how much of my life I spent like not saying anything and then being disappointed by the results mm-hmm. as opposed to just seeking rejection.
That's kind of a tough one for me to digest.
Well, think about
lowering
this.
Expectations.
Well, no.
Is easier than seeking rejection.
I just anytime you want to get something you've never had in life, you have to do something you've never done.
Right.
So failure is if you've never failed, you're not trying hard enough.
Right.
So if you break down at every failure, you're not going to be, it's not even practicing. But seeking rejection, I don't know if you're like, I don't know if that means like, who can reject me today?
Right,
but I think
right.
that means like trying things that you're not necessarily good at or mm-hmm. just going for things so that you can build up calluses to the point where it's not the end of the world when you right. do get rejected. But that's also helping you because you're constantly trying and to grow.
I do hope a lot of people learn how to handle rejection better because I feel like people really, really, really like spiral out of control.
Absolutely.
That's why you hear so many grisly situations about, spouse getting killed, an ex-girlfriend getting killed because they didn't want to be in the relationship anymore. Just women rejecting men's advances and they're getting upset and, you know, attacking. It's like, learn to accept rejection and you'll be much better off. But I mean, it's easier said than done, but
yeah. I mean, I think that's why that advice is so good because mm-hmm. it's like, if you develop a callus to that, you won't be flipping out when something
you,
like that happens.
It helps you balance your emotions better. Emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. I'll only do a couple more.
I just have one thing after you're done.
Okay. Your best decisions come from stillness. Stillness is amplified in nature and meditation.
Okay.
When someone shows you their true colors, believe them.
Hey, meditation makes me fall asleep. Every time I try to...
You're doing it wrong,
man.
You got to do one that's like, keeps you there.
It's not too relaxing to the point where it's like... Or is meditation not supposed to be relaxing?
It is, you know, but I think that...
I get tired.
I think that where meditation works is like it gives a pause button or at least a slow down button for your mind, which is constantly working.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets you either reset your mind or at least give it room to think about the things that you need to instead of like the bombardment that it's getting from stimulation all day. So
I feel like that's the only time I really meditate. The only time I really meditate is when I feel like things are too chaotic and I need to like slow down.
So I think that's when you get
as a daily routine.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like how massages work. You know, you can wait until your muscles are just killing you, mm-hmm. or you can do it, make it a routine.
It's proactive versus reactive.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Most of us are reactive.
There's a whole bunch of these, but I feel like we're at a very good note right now. So
okay.
I just want to have this one be take complete ownership for every result in your life. The only constant in every result is you.
Ah.
I think that's a good little one
too. Very nice.
To end on, because a lot of people don't have accountability, mm-hmm. and we were just talking about that.
That mirror is foggy, huh?
Yeah.
I just have one, and okay. I was already going to bring this up. I saw it on Spiritual Word. Stop saying check on your people if you ain't going to be in a safe space when you do. I think that was so powerful. It stood out to me because oftentimes people will be like, tell me what's wrong with you. What's going on? What's going wrong? But mentally, they're not really in a space to receive.
Even get the download?
Yeah, to receive what you're saying. And so mm-hmm. sometimes they interpret it, they misinterpret it, misinterpret what you need from them because they themselves may be triggered or just may not have that emotional intelligence for being able to take on someone else's vent sessions, someone else's issues, mm-hmm. And they can definitely misinterpret the message that needs to be conveyed. So if you are hothead or if you feel like people are always attacking you or if you are going through some stuff where you feel mentally unstable, I don't think it's best that you have these conversations with others about what's going on with them, because you literally can end up having the opposite effect of what they need. So I thought it was just really powerful because sometimes like we don't know, even as a therapist, there were times where I went to work and I said, I am not in a space to be able to conduct appropriate therapy mm-hmm. with these people, whether it was something going on in my life, relationship problems.
Right.
I had gotten pregnant, you know, so at times like my emotions were all over the place. And if I was in that space, I had to learn to tell myself like, okay, I can't see clients today. Right. Like I have to make this a paperwork day and I have to get myself into a space where I can now meet with clients and take on whatever it is that they have so that I can do my best to come up with whatever solutions that we need to come up with for that day. And so that is something that I spent a lot of time doing mm-hmm. and it's been very, very helpful for me. So even with friends now, if they're going through something and I don't feel like I can really be there because I'm like, I just can't.
And they won't always uh-huh. Accept that, you know,
that
it
is
might
true.
Be a, it might be something that is taken the wrong way from their end, but mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you have to set your own personal boundaries before mm-hmm. you pour into anybody else.
And I'll come back to them when I am in a better space and be like, mm-hmm. man, I apologize for not being able to be there for you in that moment when you needed it, but I'm here now and I'm in a better space to be able to help
you. It takes maturity on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely maturity on both sides. It won't always come across as that, but I think that's important. You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Doing shrooms.
Doing shrooms?
Doing fucking mushrooms, all right? So here's why. Maybe this is relatable to some people. You can't do mushrooms if you're in a bad mental state, you know? If you're in a weird space, uh-huh. it's going to amplify the weirdness. But if you get yourself into a positive state and you do some mushrooms, it's going to give you all the solutions. It's going to really change your mind for the better. But if you do it in a bad state, you know, you might freak out.
That so they ain't always work tell for you, me. I'd be freaking out.
They always tell you, make sure you're in a good state. So that works for both. I think you have to protect your light and protect your mentality.
Ooh, not a plug.
Protect your light. you have to protect that kind of stuff. And you know, a lot of people, we were just talking about energy vampires. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just want to dump, And mm-hmm. I think it's cool because venting is cool. And if they find a safe space in you, that's honorable.
Yeah.
But you have to set your boundaries. A lot of people don't know how to do that. And they're just like, okay, I'm a good friend. Let me just take all this. And in their world, they're just like, dump. All right, I feel better. And in your world, you're just like, Jesus Christ. Okay. How about this? Ooh, this is a bar. I'm sorry, too. Trust people who say, I don't know, more than the people who have all the answers.
Oh, my God.
That's me. You can't say I'm not trustworthy. Hey. I'd be trying to get to the facts. I'd be looking stupid.
I don't know.
I'd be looking stupid. Man, on all deaf, I'd just be like, what's that? People think I don't know nothing. But then a lot of people would be acting like they know. Mm-hmm. And then this is the bar. Seek feedback from those in the arena, not from the ones who are booing from cheap seats.
Ooh.
Even though they're okay. In the arena.
I mean, they got there. I get what it's saying.
Yeah, the bar is still there.
Yeah. So but basically those who are on the court, not those who are in the nosebleed.
I think that what this means is like, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to bring you down from positions that you should not affect you.
Right.
And you can't really listen to that. So I hope everybody watched this and feels inspired.
Absolutely.
For 2023.
Good job.
I hope everybody feels like they. I think if anything, yeah, the resolutions don't really work. But the beautiful thing about New Year's is that idea of a fresh start.
Yep.
Is very.
And sometimes you might surprise yourself and might be able to hold on to a resolution. I know I've surprised myself like, oh, I thought this shit was going to be done by day six.
Yeah.
And it is 6 months in and I've changed and made this a lifestyle, my resolution. So,
well, what people don't take enough credit for is the fact that putting a new goal in your head does something. I think that people rush it and they're like, it's the first. I'm going to work out every single day this year. By the second week, they're like, oh, I failed, so never mind. Mm-hmm. But if you're in your head, it's just like the year's goal is to be, then it's not like you have to burn yourself in that first week. You can go a few times the next week, first time. And then in your mind, it's not like something you're doing too much.
It's about small little goals. Small goals to reach a big one. You know, because sometimes when we start off with that, yes, I'm going vegan from fucking crazy ass carnivore, and now I want to go strict vegan, and then 2 days later I'm throwing up from not getting the type of nutrients, and I can't keep this going.
It's because like your body's like, hang on,
it's too big of a jump. Small goals to reach the big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it. Yep. I like it. This was a pretty positive ass episode.
Absolutely.
I like it. I like it a lot. Well, we hope you like the longer episodes. Shout out to the Threadheads. Shout out to 2022. And we hope that you guys like what we have in store this year, because we've already been working on it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We got some projects coming that in my whole career, I've never shot so much and not dropped.
Right.
This far in advance.
Whole year's worth
we
of
got
content.
Three seasons of stuff that hasn't seen the light of day. Yep. So we hope you guys love it. As always, I've been your co-host, Patrick Cloud.
And I'm Persephone.
See you next week.
Hey.
Later, guys.